Good morning, Colorado, and welcome to A Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford, and we have in studio today the wonderful Mr. Evan Davis from the Never Again Board of Directors and the Public Affairs Director for the incredible, just monumental event we had last month down in Civic Center in Denver, this wonderful march and rally to support and promote common sense and legislative reform as far as gun laws are concerned, and to also engage young adults in getting involved in the political legislative voting process. So we are discussing great young people like Evan today. We're talking about millennials and volunteerism. So we're going to be chatting about that for the next half hour or so. So I want to go ahead and get right to it and introduce Mr. Evan Davis. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with Never Again Colorado and March for Our Lives.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's kind of a funny story how I got involved with Never Again. So there was in the wake of the Parkland shooting, there were a lot of millennials, the Parkland students in particular, finding their way to national TV cameras and kind of issuing this call to action. And seeing that kind of resonated with me. And here in Colorado at the time, there was a bill up for testimony in committee that would have allowed concealed carry in a classroom. And the night of, I saw a Facebook event for this public testimony. I said, nah, I can't go. I saw the video of Emma Gonzalez, you know, saying we call BS and whatnot. And that resonated with me because it showed me that, this is something that I care about and it's clearly something I can participate in. So I went, testified, ran into Tay Anderson there, found out about the organizers meeting for the march, and I suppose the rest is history.
Awesome. Yeah. And it sounds like you guys just all kind of connected and came together from different schools here in the metro area and Colorado. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We're from all over the state. In fact, all congressional districts for Colorado are represented in the Never Again Board.
I love it. That's absolutely wonderful. And the board itself is pretty diverse.
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm thrilled to see.
Absolutely.
Because we're showing all young men and women from all, and some children.
Yeah.
From all walks of life.
Absolutely.
Coming together to support this cause and to also support millennials getting involved in their community and getting involved in the legislative process. So, Evan, can you tell us a little bit of about some of the programs you guys were working on and some of the events that you're holding locally and statewide?
Absolutely, yeah. So, in the immediate aftermath of the march, we hosted a town hall in a CD6 in Mike Kaufman's district. Unfortunately, Mr. Kaufman was not able to make it. Nonetheless, we held a town hall for the opponents that were running against him, and we got their views on gun reform and ending gun violence. So we've looked into that. Certainly, we're actually next month. In fact, we are hosting a gubernatorial debate on May 19th at here in Colorado, and we'll be hosting all sorts of gubernatorial candidates from both parties, anyone who's coming, and then we'll also be holding an attorney general's forum in the immediately following the debate as well. So,
and if people want to find out more information about these events, where could they go to get more information to either participate or attend?
They can go to the Never Again CO Facebook page or neveragainco.com website or Facebook page. Follow us on social media. We are constantly giving updates. The website is also a great resource as well. You can reach out to us directly on the website if you've got any questions. So, yeah.
Awesome. Now, I wanted to ask you, how has this personally changed your life, being involved on something that was so visual and so public?
Right. Yeah. It's been a whirlwind. You said that we're coming up on a month away, and I got a little wide eye because I still can't find the words to really articulate what it's like. But you know, at the end of the day, what it's really shown is that regardless of your background, or that's shown me, regardless of your background, where you come from, if there is an issue that is important to you, the first thing that you got to do is just make your voice heard. And if you make your voice heard, that's a rallying cry to other people. And it swells and it snowballs and it can become this huge thing. Because what started as a few people standing up and saying this is not all right has become a national movement. So it's really shown me more than anything else is that if something matters to you, make your voice heard. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And do you feel that other young adults and other millennials and children have grandfathered themselves behind your strength and rallied behind you and got behind you and said, well, God, if they can do it, they're giving me the courage to speak up. So do you see more people your age speaking out about politics and social issues?
I really have actually. And it's funny because it's become this symbiotic relationship where I think a lot of people have seen, the folks who have been inspired by these national movements. We at Never Again, we draw a lot of our strength from them. Of course, we'd keep this fight going for as long as it had to, regardless of anybody listening or not. But when we see people reacting the way that they have, it resonates with us just as much as we hope our message is resonating with them. So, yeah.
What has been some of the unexpected difficulties or maybe roadblocks you guys have encountered in such a young, novice movement being upstarted by such young leaders?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, as with anything, there's growing pains. I think, honestly, the biggest thing that we've encountered is just naturally inexperience. Nonetheless, though, in spite of that, when we run into something that maybe we're not too familiar with, the board at Never Again has done a wonderful job of instantly learning from whatever stumbles or mistakes are made along the way and getting back up and getting right at it, getting right back at it again. So, yeah.
Well, that's called perseverance. And some people would say that because of your lack of life experience, that automatically disqualifies you to do something of this magnitude. And I say it's actually the reverse, because coming out with a clean slate to me is probably the best advantage in the world, because you have open views and open ideas, and you have not been jaded by the world too much. Even though being a teenager is hard, it is. And being a young adult is hard. I know, because I raised a son and I've been through that. But even with the own teenage challenges, mm-hmm. Why do you think people doubt the veracity and the wherewithal and the intelligence and the fortitude that you guys have displayed? Why do you think some people are not giving you the benefit of the doubt to see this going long term?
Well, I think it's like you said. I sympathize with those people, especially, it's in the reality that we've all had to live in. The fact of the matter is that these things have been plaguing the country for far too long now. Even before Columbine, there were issues of mass shootings and things that were happening. So I sympathize with those people from that standpoint, in saying that, you know, this has been going on for so long. I don't know if this is going to change, but nonetheless, it takes one person to stand up and say enough, and one can grow into two. Two can grow into 10. 10 can grow into 100, 100,000, so on and so forth. I think really what it boils down to at the end of the day is not trying to get over your own jadedness and reconcile the fact that if you believe that this is a problem, regardless of who you are or how old you are, if you make your voice heard, you can help make change, real lasting change.
Right. And change has to start with courage, like you said, to speak up. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us a little bit about your background. Now, you were mentioning to me that you are a teacher's aide.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that and some of the kids you work with.
Yeah, well, I had the absolute luxury last year before I went to college. I took a gap year and I worked as a teacher's aide in a first grade classroom at downtown Denver Expeditionary School. And that was probably one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. It was a little surreal to jump from the role of student immediately to teacher, even if they were just young kids. It was funny to go from this role of, you know, student learner to immediate faculty and kind of like the head guy in charge.
Kind of being the grown up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I used to get told all the time by these kids like, how can you tell me what to do when you're just a kid yourself?
And so, and what do you say? What is your answer to that?
Well, I would tell them, I was like, well, I may be a kid just like you, but I'm a kid who's been around the block a couple times. And you know what? I'm more like you than you think. And when I tell you to stop something, it's not because I want to stop you. It's because I know what happens when you get in trouble.
Absolutely. And then do they get a better idea of you're not there to scold them, but you're there to help guide them and teach them?
Absolutely. And you know what? What it boils down to in teaching more than anything, one of the best sayings I ever heard was the best teachers in the world act as a bridge for their students to cross over from point A to point B and joyfully collapse when they do so. So, and that was kind of the philosophy I went along with, was this idea of like, I'm here to foster and guide these kids to a higher sense of self, understanding, and character. It's not my job to tell them how to be. It's my job to help them figure out where they want to end up. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, the events that you were speaking of, do you guys share this information with your students in your class? Are you guys able to do that or give information to their parents?
Oh, unfortunately, I keep in contact with them. I'm currently not at DDES.
Okay,
but I do share. I've been in contact with a couple of the old staff and the faculty, and there were some former students who were at the march. In fact, that were messaging me when I was on stage. You know, old parents were messaging me and whatnot. And they, I think they've found their way. They keep in contact for sure. So yeah,
awesome. Now, yeah. As a result of this, have you had many people approach you guys to get involved with more of the legislative and community oriented work in addition to the young people that you guys are also motivating?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we when we formed as a board, we were the only folks who for the most part, I think there were about two or three or so, but for the most part, we were the only folks running for the positions that we wanted. And I think the votes, we held public elections and the votes totaled something around, 700, anywhere between 700 and 1,000. It wasn't too much. But since the march, we've had open positions we need to fill, and two open positions solicited 50 applications. And in fact, if I may, I've got a position open for the assistant director of public relations that I'm currently looking to fill myself. So if you are a young person between 12 and 24 and you're listening to this broadcast, check out the Never Again site, send an application. I'll look it over and maybe I can put you in this chair here. So yeah.
I love that. And please, if you guys are interested in that, please listen to the information that he gave you. And I hope you got a chance to jot that down and go check that out, because it sounds like a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. We are listening to the great Evan Davis with Never Again Board. He's with the Never Again Board of Directors. And of course, he's with the March for Our Lives Colorado. And you are listening to KGNU Community Radio Public Affairs. And I want to continue with the next segment of this. Now, do you guys go by Never Again Colorado or Never Again? Or do you guys go by both names?
Either or. Never Again, Never Again CO, Never Again Colorado, either. Yeah,
so there's several different abbreviations.
Yeah, we're getting,
okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So what would you say besides the march has had the biggest impact on you? I know you guys were on stage,
right?
And I know that was an overwhelming experience for you, but once it was all said and done and you got back down to brass tacks and got involved with the town hall, and now you guys are planning some other events regarding the gubernatorial race and some other things, what was the first thing that you guys addressed once the event was over?
Oh, goodness. I think the first thing was coming down from it. I think all of us took a moment to recognize how lucky we all were to create the event that we did. But ultimately, we felt so lucky to be a part of the board in general. The board of Never Again Colorado are hands down some of the most driven, passionate, compassionate individuals that I've ever come across. When we were working on the board, I had no problem. I felt like I could call anyone at 2 a.m. Any day of the week and say, hey, I'm thinking of trying to do an interview with such and such. And folks would answer. Folks were willing to drive across town to pick up, you know, poster materials if need be. It was hands down, I think, just to be a part of that sort of group with that work ethic, it does something to you. It really instills this mentality of being a crew. You are willing to go the extra mile for someone because you know that same person is willing to go an extra 10 if you need it. So it's really special.
Well, it was special to watch because I was blessed and privileged to assist you guys with the event, and also had the blessing of being able to participate in it. And I have to say that you guys showed us adults, us baby boomers and Generation Xers, how to get stuff done. I was so thoroughly impressed. And the main reason why I have you on the show today, and I wish I could fit all of you in the studio,
right,
is because of what you just explained, the teamwork,
yeah,
the unselfishness that you guys portrayed, and your willingness to get involved in vital issues in this country. Not just in Denver, not just in Colorado, but things that are affecting the country and, you know, things that are going on around the world. So you guys are not just limiting your scope to Denver and to Colorado. You guys are branching out, and I think that was always your intention, right?
Certainly. I mean, we have a very special focus on Colorado just because that's home, and we think, you know, you start small with your community and you hope to build outward. But yeah, like you said, it's all about, I mean, for us, really, at the end of the day, it is about ending gun violence in all shapes and all forms, and it's finding any way we can to do that. So one of the things we really like to say is we're a nonpartisan organization. I'm not here to try to, you know, get a Democrat in office or get a Republican in office. I want the person who's got the solutions that can be backed up by expert opinions and facts to get them into law.
And I love that mentality. And that is what I think is at the core of what is making this March for Our Lives movement and Never Again movement so pivotal. It's nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. It's human.
It is.
You guys are just putting the human element back into a very long, worn out, right, winding conversational.
And that's a huge part of it, is we've reached a point where in some cases with this conversation, so many people hear the word gun control and they instantly revert to, oh, they're coming for my rights and they're coming for my freedom. And, you know, the other side will say, well, they don't care about kids or keeping them safe and whatnot. And at the end of the day, we forget that folks are folks, like you said, they're human. You know, this is I'm not out to try to vilify or demonize anybody. I'm out to try to hold a conversation. I think we all agree that this is a problem. I don't think either side likes to see this sort of thing keep happening over and over again, but we can't begin to stop it if we're not willing to come together and talk first.
Right, and talk meaning in person.
Right.
Not through social media.
Not through your keyboard.
Right. So, would you say, just based on your own experience with this, that you've seen more young people get out of their social media silos and come out and be willing to talk to someone that may not have liked views or share the same views, and are able to establish and engage in an intellectual dialogue with someone that may not ideology see eye to eye with them?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I have especially at the march, the young people we saw from all different walks of life was astounding. And these were folks that were passionate and had a lot to say. This may be a bit of the teacher in me showing, but a lot of kids are a lot smarter than folks want to give them credit for. You know, they may be young and they may be a little untempered. I'm throwing myself in that group for sure.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, these are people who, they may be young, but they still feel and they still have emotions and they still have the ability to think critically. And that's certainly something that shouldn't be taken for granted.
Yeah, I always say the children, they're like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's rapid. It's fluid.
Yeah.
You know, the lines may not connect correctly. It may not even make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a movement within their brain activity.
Absolutely.
So it's their own linguistic,
right,
speech,
yeah,
being put out in kind of like, I call it paint splatter matter.
I love it.
So it's like, it may look like a mess to you, but it makes sense to me.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so the bottom line is that we have to give children, young adults, more credit for knowing more than we think they should know that they already know.
I think so. I think more than anything, just overriding your biases in general. you know, kids, they may be a little untempered, but they got a lot to contribute. And the same thing can be said, you know, a lot of folks think like, well, the older generation isn't going to want to move or help. But, you know, like I've seen folks, for, you know, we say the movement may have been issued by the youth, but it's grown out beyond that. It's youth led, but it's not youth exclusive. No, at all. Yeah.
No, it's not. And you guys have actually showed to me that the pedium, the panium is switched as far as our leaders are concerned. A lot of our civil disobedience has come from teenagers, mm-hmm. Especially in the 60s.
Absolutely.
With the civil rights movement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the more things change, the more they stay the same. And you guys have proven that young people are still at the core of the changing landscape in our countries at pivotal times in our history.
Absolutely. Yeah. History repeats itself. You know, actually, it's funny. I have a history professor whom I love at the Community College of Denver, Bill Ashcraft, and he put it in wonderful terms. We were talking about elected officials, and we were talking and we were saying, you know, young people always seem to be concerned about the same things. I might disagree on exactly how to approach those things, but these things like climate change, student loans, gun violence, everyone is so concerned about them that's in this age group. And then the conversation usually goes to, well, then how come I don't hear about it from elected officials? Well, it's because the people who we're voting for think that we're not paying attention. And, you know, it's no slight on them. Their job is they want to get into office. And if they want to get into office, they got to talk to the people who are going to vote. And if the young people who care about these things, if they think that they're not paying attention, they're not going to talk about those things. But if we show them that we're focused on them and that we want to see action on these things, that's how you get them talking. And that's how you get change made into law.
Right. And that's exactly what the Parkland students did.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, you know, they don't think we have a dog in this hunt. You do.
Absolutely.
Because you guys are our future. Mm-hmm. We have to protect our future. And you guys are our future civil servants and our future legislators. And we need you here, you know, because without you guys, we have no country. We have no world. We have no future. And for the men and women who are currently legislating, mm-hmm. Both locally, statewide, and nationwide, I do think sometimes that there is a generation gap. And some of this stuff kind of falls on deaf ears because of just the era some of the legislators were born in.
Right.
You know, and their values and mores are just different.
Yeah.
So we're going to close out here in a couple minutes, and I want to give you the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
To share some words of wisdom to a young person who may be listening
right.
To the show. And what would you say to them to encourage someone that may be a bit skeptical about getting involved
mm-hmm.
in politics or volunteering or getting involved with voting and legislative matters and matters of policy?
Words of wisdom. That's funny. I just got to say real quick, the people, my friends are going to hear this later and they're going to say, oh, the great Evan Davis with his words of wisdom. But you know what? I think, what I tell people is, you know, the greatest thing that you have in this country at your disposal, the greatest tool is your right to vote. If you got a right to vote, you got a dog in this fight. If you have a heart, if you feel a certain way about certain things, then you absolutely have a dog in this fight. If you feel a certain way and you want to see change, make your voice heard. 100%.
And I could not agree with you more. And Evan, I want to thank you so much for joining us in studio today. I've enjoyed thoroughly speaking to you, and you and the rest of the Never Again Colorado and March for Our Lives board directors and members and volunteers have shown an exemplary example of volunteerism from our future, our millennials. So you know what? We thank you for all your hard work and all the great activities that you are planning to engage the community and keep the movement going.
Thank you. Thank you all for participating. The fact that you guys show up every day and every time, it really humbles us and it really keeps us going, I gotta say.
Well, so. you have our support, and anything that young people do that's positive to try to improve our country
mm-hmm.
and our community, you're always going to get 1,000% support.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Yeah. And thank you all for listening to A Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford. And again, we had in studio this morning, we had Evan Davis from March for Our Lives, Colorado, and the Never Again Board of Directors. So thank you all for listening once again. Stay engaged, stay ready, and always stay ready to do good. Thank you all for listening and have a good morning.